Blog Talk Radio.
Great morning. Welcome to Faith Focus and Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. I see I got a couple of callers on the line. I appreciate you guys calling in. If you could just put your phone on mute, that'll help take care of some of the background noise. And when I open up the line for questions, then you can actually ask Mr. Antonio some questions. So if you could just put your phone on mute, I appreciate it. Thank you. So I'm opening it up with some announcements. First of all, I'm looking for some people that want to advertise, do some promotions, commercials, maybe a radio interview or radio spin. So yes, I'm looking for some singer and songwriters, maybe some authors and life coaches if you want to come on and tell your story. And just a minute, guys, I'm going to put people on mute for 1 second. That'll help me with the noise background. I appreciate it. And so anyway, if you're looking for advertisement, promotions, commercial, radio spins, or you just want to get online and, you know, tell your story with an interview, you can contact me at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com. That's faithfocusfinish@gmail.com. And so up and coming guests, we have Well, today we have Mr. Antonio Brooks. He wrote his book called Child Support, Made It and Paid It. And we're going to be talking with him on about his journey and what inspired him to write his book about child support. And what I love about it is that I have the opportunity to hear it on the man's side, which we always hear about the women. So we're going to be talking about that. Next week we have on the 23rd, we have Ms. Chantrice Holloman, Dr. Chantrice Holloman. She's going to be talking about some of her books, but the main book we're going to be talking about is called Shoes Without Feet. It's called Shoes Without Feet, and it's about her journey, how she had a major heart attack, and when she woke up as a bilateral amputee, which means that she did not have limbs, she didn't have no legs, and so she's going to tell us what happened with her and in the process of her being in that, I guess she was in a coma at the time, and how she lost her legs. So we're going to be talking about that. And then we have Yolanda Compass. She's going to be coming on the 24th. And the name, and she's an author and a mentor and a motivational speaker. The name of her book is called Breaking Free from the Cycle of Destructive Relationships. So I'm really excited. I got a couple of other people that asked me that was in my inbox, sent me emails. They want to also get on the show, but I want to get them on the calendar first before I mention their names. So, yeah, I'm super excited to help, you know, these people promote their books and their advertising their business. So I'm super excited about that. But first, we're going to talk to Mr. Antonio Brooks. Let me get him on the line. Great morning. Is this Mr. Antonio?
Yes, it is. Good morning. Good morning.
Great morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be able to sit down and talk with you real briefly about my project that I've been working on a few years. Child support, how I paid it and still made it, is real personal to me because this is something that I live.
All right. Well, the thing I loved about it, first of all, I just want to tell you that you actually are the second man to come on my show. So congratulations for the men to stand, being part of the men to stand up.
Thank you.
I'm getting a whole bunch of women to get on my show, so I appreciate it. But it's funny because I've never looked at it about thinking about hearing about it on the men's side of the child support, because I'm always hearing women all the time, and I guess I hear about it because I have women support groups, but I never hear it on the man's side and what they have to go through. So I appreciate you, first of all, for writing that book and sharing your story, your journey with other people so they can know better to do better when it comes to child support, or even know what to expect when they go to have some kids.
Exactly.
I appreciate you writing that book. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Like I said, my name is Antonio Brooks. I'm from Miami, Florida. I'm a father of two kids. My daughter, Antonia, is 23, and my son, Antonio, is 20. He'll be 21 in December. So at this point, you know, both of my kids are adults, and I went through this child support thing with both of their moms. My daughter's mom and I, we never lived together, but we were in a relationship approximately 2 years before my daughter was conceived. And my son, mother, and myself, we lived together for a few years. So when we broke up, I was never a father to run away from a responsibility. So after we broke up, I decided to go to my job, to the payroll department. I said, look, just take this money out of my check and mail it to them, you know, and there's no running around looking for me. There's no chaos, none of that, you know. Being a man, you know, thinking that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a father to make sure my kids are provided for.
Mm-hmm. Let me take this back for a minute. Let's take it back for 1 second, because I don't want to jump too far ahead. So what kind of occupation were you working at the time when you first started having your kids?
Well, I was working at the South Dade Memorial. It's a cemetery here in Miami, Florida, and that was part time. And I was working another part time job, which was Dade County Public Schools. At the time when I originally got put on child support. So I was working two part-time jobs And I had other things that I was doing, you know, to bring in income also.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that because I know you're an entrepreneur and you have other other projects and businesses that you're working on. So I definitely want to touch bases with that so you can still, you know, you can expose people to some of the other things that you're doing to help with your businesses too. Now, if your mommy asked me, have you been to college or anything?
Yes. Originally, when I graduated high school, I graduated and I went to Miami-Dade North here in Miami, Florida. And I stayed there 2 years. My mom, I'm the oldest of five, so my mom got sick and I dropped out. But I later returned to college at the age of 38 to study electrical engineering. And I'll be graduating soon.
Okay. Excellent. It's always good to keep pushing, you know. You know, because we do have some people, you know, you see people graduating from college, and I know some people that just actually got their high school diploma at 51, so it's always good to still keep pushing at your goals and dreams, so that's pretty cool that you're still pushing. So now, now I know you, so how long were you in the relationship? Now, who was the oldest? Oh, your daughter is the oldest, and that's the one that you was basing the book off of.
Yeah. My daughter was the oldest, and like I said, me and her mother never lived together. But, you know, my daughter was conceived, and my son's mother, we lived together, and then my son was conceived shortly after that.
Okay. Now, you was explaining that you had your job cut her a check?
Yes. As the Dade County public school employee, I went over to the payroll department, and, you know, as the relationship went, you know, sour, I went there and I said, listen, you know, take this money out of my check, mail it to her. So they have a system that, you know, you can have a deduction coming out of your check and you tell them where you want it to go and they mail it to that particular, you know, entity or whatever the case may be. So
wow.
I went down and I filled out the paperwork and I would get paid on Thursday and she would receive the check from Dade County Public Schools to her in care of my daughter from me. And we did this for many years. But no headache, no hassle. You know, you don't have to run around looking for me for anything that my daughter needed. I provided money for that.
Right. Now, if you don't mind me asking, how much were you sending her?
At the time, because I was working two part-time jobs, it was $150 pay period.
Okay. Okay. All right. And that was every week or every 2 weeks or how did that go?
It was based on every 2 weeks, but, you know, in between weeks, I would give her cash money also.
Okay. So you definitely was taking care of your kid because there's people out here that actually, they make them go to court and do that. But you was actually standing up and sending her a check without you having to get the courts involved like most parents should do in the first place.
Exactly. I believe in being proactive instead of being reactive. You know,
right.
The court system wasn't involved when we, you know, conceived this child. So I didn't feel that the court system would be involved to have me take care of this child.
Exactly. Well, that makes sense. It makes sense. I never understood why people would want them to be in their business anyway when you know that's your child and you should be taking care of the kid anyway. So I never understood why people do that. So I know you said it was years, but how many years did you guys do that? Do you remember how many years it was?
Yeah, we did this for roughly 4 to 5 years. And I was at work one morning. I became from part-time to full-time, so my salary went up. And I was going to go back and increase the money. And like I explained to her, if you felt that my daughter was getting older and she needed more things, all you had to do is just a conversation. You know, adults need to be adults. We have a conversation. I've already put something in place. I just go back to the payroll department and tell them to increase it. Well, I was at work, and it was about 9 o'clock, and I got a call to come down to the main building. And when I got there, they said, there's somebody outside waiting for you. And I got outside, and as soon as I opened the door, the lady said, are you Mr. Brooks? I said, yes. She said, you've been served. And I was like, served? And I look at the papers, and quickly I got irate because I didn't understand. I was confused of the fact that here I am thinking that I'm stepping up as a man and doing the things that I need to do, when it comes down to my daughter, and then I get served with child support papers.
Now, let me ask you, do you know why she decided to do that after all those years?
Oftentimes, coming from where we come from, it's usually outside entities, you know, girlfriends or other family members, you know, he's a county employer, you can get more, you can get more, you know, so don't settle for what he's giving you. But like I said, it was just basically a conversation. All I did was make a phone call, and I could have increased it, but she decided to go that route. But also, I think men need to also understand that even if the woman does not go down there and put you on child support, if they receive any government assistance, food stamps, Medicaid, things of that nature, either she's going to give the name of the father to continue to receive those benefits, or they're going to drop her and the child from the benefits. So one of the two ways you're going to get put on child support.
Right. So I never kind of understood, because I never had kids, so I didn't understand how the whole thing worked. Okay, wow. That's crazy. So when you went to court, what was the outcome when you went to court at that time?
Well, when I got served, like I said, I was irate, and I called the payroll department at my job, and I said, listen, I need you to give me a printout of all the money that I gave her. Talking to some family members and friends, it was like, you need to get an attorney, this and that. I said, you know, I don't feel that I need to get an attorney. It's in black and white. It's not like it's my word against her word or my word against the state of Florida. I have the printout. So I go to my job, tell them what I needed, and the clerk tells me, well, you got to come back in a couple of days. You know, your court date is not until next month, but this is a lot of money that we need to print out. So I came back, picked it up. The printout, it had Dade County Public Schools on their letter here from the payroll department, and it had every deduction. And I had like maybe 60 sheets that they printed out, and it totaled up to $15,000. So I said, okay, this is fine. You know, I'm going to court and prove what I've been doing. So there's no misconception and there's no argument. I got to court, and the judge called me up, and he said, we're here because you're the absentee parent. I said, well, I don't feel that I'm the absentee parent. I don't understand, you know, where you're going with this, but he said, hold on. He explained to me that, you know, what my rights was and what my responsibilities was when it come down to this child that was conceived, and that the child needed medical insurance, the child needed a life insurance policy, and, you know, monetary amount on a monthly basis. So I said, well, Your Honor, I'm already giving the money. Here is the money that I've been giving her. I have a life insurance policy where my daughter's the beneficiary if something happens to me. I have health insurance on her because due to my salary, I qualify for, in Florida we have what's called Florida Healthy Kids. I think in Georgia it's Florida Peach Kids or something like that. So based on your salary, you can provide full coverage insurance for a child for like $30 a month. And it was under Blue Cross and Blue Shield. So I had all the documents, and I gave it to the judge. And he said, you gave her all of this money? I said, yes. And he looked down and he said, you gave her $15,000? I said, yes. He said, well, I'm sorry to tell you that the money that you gave her was a gift.
Wow.
And I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, the money you gave her was a gift. If it didn't come through the court system and then go from us to her, it's a gift. And you now owe the state of Florida $25,000.
My God.
And at that point, my blood pressure went up, and I decided to go into the
matrix. Mine just went up just now, you saying it.
Yeah. I went into the matrix. You know, they had to really get me under control in the courtroom, because here I am thinking that I'm doing the right thing, and I didn't get any credit for what I was doing. And he told me, it doesn't work that way. It's your duty and responsibility to take care of this child. I said, Your Honor, that's what I was doing. And, you know, they deemed it as a gift. So she ended up getting food stamps and Medicaid. While she was getting this over the course of the 5 years, it built up a $25,000 bill. Mm. And the absentee father at that time, and that on today's law, is the absentee parent, because some women pay child support now. So he said, you owe $25,000. And do you have any money to put on it today? I said, no, I don't have any money on it. But the state of the Florida could have asked the judge to give me credit for the $15,000 that I've already given her, because it wasn't like it was my word against her word. I have it in black and white. But right. at that time, the judges wasn't men friendly. And he said, I was just informed that you have a passport. I said, yes. He says, you have 24 hours to put it on my desk. You're a flight risk.
Hmm.
So I said, judge, where am I going? I'm a county employee. Where am I going? I had to surrender my passport. So he also informed me that until this bill is paid, you will not receive an income tax check. So for 18 years times two, I didn't receive an income tax check. They held on to my passport for 18 years until that bill was completely paid. Any man that owes $2,501 cannot possess a passport. But if you are in the rears, $2,499. If it's $1 under $2,500, you can have a passport.
Oh my God. You know, it's really crazy to me because the way that some of the, I kind of understand it, but I don't. And the reason why I'm saying this about the them taking people licenses and passports, because there are some people out here that's not doing what they're supposed to, and they are running. But the thing is sad to me that if somebody don't have a driver's license, how are you going to get to work? If you in jail, how are you going to pay child support? I mean, some of the laws, they don't make sense to me. But that's really crazy that they held everything for you for 18 years.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Now, let me. Yeah. So how long did it take you to pay that $25,000? You had to pay the $25,000 plus what you had to pay her for the month. Am I correct?
Yeah, how it works is when I ended up paying child support for my son also, and it ended up being $700 a paycheck. So for the two kids and the money that I owe the state of Florida.
Wait a minute, Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio, let's go back for 1 minute because I thought I was hearing things.
Yeah.
So you said you paid $700 a paycheck.
Yeah, it came out to $700 a paycheck for two kids.
And how often were you paying that?
Every time a payroll check comes in. One thing about child support, if you get paid three times in 1 month, they're still going to take the same amount out of every check.
So that's why I'm asking you, they was taking that every week or every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
Wow.
So the way it works is the monetary amount that they set, you pay the mother of the kids, they get a portion. The state of Florida get a portion to go back towards the money that was built up when you wasn't paying and they was getting Medicaid and food stamps. So a portion goes back to that. And I had to pay the insurance and the life insurance, everything totaled up to $700 a pay period.
Wow.
You know, for a period of time, for roughly 3 years consecutively, out of $1,600, $1,700, I was bringing home $225 out of my check.
Wow. Barely living for yourself.
Yeah. Child support, regular taxes, union dues, and everything else that came out of my check. So it really turned me into a hustler, into a businessman. Entrepreneur.
Right. Wow. Yeah, you gotta have a source of income where you have a passive income so that way you can kind of get ahead, because a lot of times people don't understand working at them jobs. Not that I'm saying not to get a job, but you gotta still have a business on the side building for yourself so that way that you can build money quicker than versus working harder than working smarter. So yeah, that makes so much sense to be an entrepreneur and bringing the extra money that way versus doing it that way.
Exactly. What people don't understand is with child support, it is connected to your Social Security number. When they type in your Social Security number, any job that you have is going to come up. They can take funds from just about any job. But once a child support payment is set and you go out and get another job, they're not supposed to take money from the second source of income. They're going to take it from one source.
Okay.
So, you know, with that being said, I paid the child support, and I just started doing other things that were, quote, unquote, under the table. You know, I got my notary license. I became a signing agent. When the housing market was good, I would go and do closings. So if somebody had a closing of $8,000, I made $800 just going in, notarizing papers, and you sign here, sign there, I stamp, I'm out the door, $800 cash.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I did this. I would do, you know, closings two times a week, sometimes three times a week when the housing market was good.
Right.
So I just found other things that I can do where I can receive cash money and it wasn't tied to my Social Security number. As a kid and the oldest of five, I used to be upset my mom would make me put the football and basketball down and come in the house and learn how to cook. Well, as it turned out, that was the best thing my mom could ever taught me. Because, you know, I turned around and opened up my own catering business where, you know, I would do parties, weddings, I would do repasses for funeral, and people would pay me cash money. So that helped me out with the impact that I was getting from my actual payroll check.
Right. Because I was going to say, that food I be seeing you cooking, that sure look good. Hey, look, I don't even eat oxtails, but that look good. So I did watch some of your videos.
I appreciate it. You know, everything that I went through in child support and in life, it's developing to all the things that I have going on now.
Right. Well, the crazy thing is most people, most guys are people that I can't just say guys. That's why I say people, because like you said, it's women paying child support now. They usually either drop their job and try to go under the table, but it makes more sense to do it the way you said, to still work your job but do entrepreneurship things on the side so that you can still stay afloat. So
exactly. You know, men don't understand by quitting your job, the bill is not going to go away. It does not go away. If you know, it's there until you pay it. I learned how to play poker, and you know, gambling is probably not the best thing to do when you got $700 coming out of your paycheck. But usually, when I get involved with something, I learn the ins and outs, and I try to get good at it. But I learned how to play poker. I went to Las Vegas. I played in a poker tournament, and I won some money. And when I won the money, as soon as I got off the plane, I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the child support office, and I'm going to find out what my balance is. I get there, and the lady told me what my balance was. At this point in time in my life, my balance was like $3,000 left. I went in my pocket, and I gave them the entire $3,000 before I went and did anything else. And I said, okay, give me some paperwork saying that this bill that's hanging over my head is paid off. Because what people don't know is child support is a form of bad debt. So when people run your credit and they see child support on there, that's a form of bad debt, you know, bad credit.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I kind of did know that, because now that I'm thinking about it, because I remember when my mom had passed away and she left us the house, and I was in the process of selling the house, and my brother had owed child support, and they actually was trying to take that house to pay that bill off. But the thing that saved it is that his name was never on the deed.
Exactly.
So that was the only thing that saved it. So, because now that I do realize that. Wow, that's really crazy right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had some horror stories. I never played the Florida lottery. I never played cash three. And this one particular day, I'm leaving church, and I bought something in the convenience store, and I'm walking out, and the guy goes, you got a dollar left. And I was like, put it on a playful number. He said, well, what number you like? I said, I don't know. Just give me 000. Gave me the ticket, put it in my suit jacket, I left. 3 weeks later, I walk into the convenience store, and he goes, what did you do with the ticket you purchased? I said, I don't know. I really don't play this stuff. He said, the number came out. I said, what? He said, yeah, the number came out. You got to find it. So I'm thinking, like, okay, what did I do with the ticket? Luckily, I was at church that day. I had some peanuts in a Ziploc bag inside of my coat jacket. you know, church can get long sometimes.
Right.
I took the ticket and I put it in my coat pocket. Well, took the clothes to the cleaners, and I thought about it. I'm like, oh God, the ticket is in my jacket and is at the cleaners. So I run over to the cleaners and I said, listen, please bring me my jacket. I need my jacket. So they go get the jacket, and I stick my hand in the coat pocket, pull the bag out. By the grace of God, the ticket went in the bag with the peanuts, and when they pressed the jacket, it sealed it up.
Oh, my God.
Or anything. So now I got the ticket, and I'm like, okay, I got to get over to the lotto office. I fly over to the lotto office, and I'm walking in. It's my first time ever being in this place. And I walk in, and I'm looking confused, and there's a little old lady. She said, you want some money? I said, yeah. She said, fill that paper out right there. And then when you're done, take a number, they're going to call you. Fill out the paperwork. Sure enough, the lady called me, give her the ticket. She said, okay, have a seat. I'll be back in a few minutes. So as I'm sitting there, I see people, they calling them up to the window, they give them the check, and people walking out, they're happy. The lady called me, she said, Mr. Brooks, come to the window. So I'm like, okay. The ticket was worth $5,000. I go up to the window, and I'm like, okay, where's my check? She said, you see that phone right there? Pick it up. Pick up the phone. She said, sir, I can't give you the money. I said, what do you mean? She says, my system is telling me one out of three entities took your money. Student loan, unemployment, or child support.
Wow.
I said, ma'am, I've never been unemployed. I don't have any student loans, and I paid child support completely off. I think you need to check your system again. So she said, well, I can't give you the money. She rang the bell to call somebody else. So when I looked over and I seen the bell, I went and snatched the whole bell off the wall. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. Nobody's coming to this window until I get my money.
Right.
Supervisor came out. We're arguing. We're going back and forth. So they called the police. So the little lady that saw me when I came in, she said, sweetheart, do you know where you're at? This is a federal building. Just calm down. I said, ma'am, I don't even want to hear that right now. So now I hear the police coming. The first officer showed up was a brother. He said, man, come outside and talk to me. I said, listen, I don't want to talk to nobody. I wanted the number. They tell me they can't get my money. I don't owe child support. I paid them. He said, well, just come outside and talk to me. You know, I'm on child support too.
I already know what that means. They talking about coming outside.
So instead of me going outside, I stood in the threshold of the lotto office. He said, listen, do you hear the rest of those sirens? The rest of them that's showing up not going to look like me and you. So I'm going to need you to calm down and just come outside and talk to me. By this time, the manager comes outside to talk to the police. And she said, for him to carry on like this, I've never seen a person do this. There's something wrong. She said, sir, give me your ID. Give me your name. Come back in the morning. I'll deal with your situation all by myself. We'll get to the bottom of it.
Right.
Gave it to her. I get in my car, and I pull off. I get about three traffic lights down the street, and I see all these police coming behind me. So I'm like, you know, now they're going to harass me and take me to jail, and I left. Police pull up on the side of me and said, pull over. So I jump out of the car. And I was like, man, I mean, what's the problem? You know, they're not giving me my money. Now you're trying to harass me. He said, hold on. First of all, you didn't put your car in park and it's rolling down the street.
Oh, you know what?
The state of Florida called back and said, you were telling the truth. They got your money. Go back and get your money. He said, I'm going to send one of my officers to try to catch your car because it's rolling down the street.
Antonio, you didn't let the car roll down the street.
I looked at that car and said, hell with that car. I ran four blocks down the street to the lotto office. When I snatched the door open, everybody jumped up and started clapping.
Oh, my God, you're about to make me cry.
She's standing there, and she got her hand posted on a bulletproof glass with my check at the window.
Wow.
And she said, come get your money. Please come get your money. What happens is the state of Florida and child support, their system are not, well, at that time it wasn't linked together. So one system said one thing, which was child support, and the state of Florida with the lotto system said he don't owe anybody. But they went by what child support said.
Right.
And now that their systems are linked, if you win the lotto and you owe child support, they're going to automatically take the money. But now
right.
they check the state of Florida or whatever state you're in versus that lottery entity, and they know if, you know, what's being showed on the screen is true or not.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. You have my heart over here racing, tears in my eye, because I'm like, shoot, that's crazy. But
yeah,
it kind of makes sense. It do make sense, though, for them to hold it if you owe it, because they thinking if you got the money to pay for the lottery and stuff, then you got money to get the kids something. So I understand it. But at the same time, that's crazy. But I'm glad that they did finally link that up together and they gave you money.
Yeah, they gave me money.
Wow.
So in this situation, I never desired to be an author or a writer. I just knew I had a story to tell. And
right.
a gentleman by the name of Michael Gaynor, he's an author. He wrote a book called Dumbass Me. He's a very good friend of mine and a mentor. And he
mm-hmm.
sold a seed to me years ago. He said, man, with everything that you've been through, you need to put this on paper. And I
mm-hmm.
toyed with the idea for a while, and then I finally just did it. I can't type
mm-hmm.
to save my life. So what I would do, I went and got a little recorder with these little mini cassette tapes from Walgreens or Walmart. And on my free time, I was just sitting talking to the recorder. And before
mm-hmm.
I knew it, I had 40 tapes front and back of everything that I went through dealing with child support and my job and the kids and their mom. And I found a court reporter, and I asked her, you know, to work out a deal with me to listen to these tapes and transcribe it, type everything out for me. And
wow.
pretty much that's how this book was born.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break right quick, and then we're going to come back because we have some callers on the line, and we're going to see if they have some questions to ask you. And we're going to talk some more about your book. So we're going to take a quick break right quick, and we'll be right back.
No problem.
We need
Well, welcome back to Faith Focus and Finish Blog Talk Radio. And I'm on the line with Mr. Antonio Brooks, who wrote the book, Child Support, Paid It and Made It. But before we start, before I open up the lines for people to ask questions, I like to give little quotes. And the quote today is a lesson about money. You can be broke making $150,000 a year, but you can be rich making $40,000 a year. So it all comes down to your lifestyle choices and how you spend and your spending habits. So on that note, if you want to learn how to make your money work harder for you, then you working hard for your money. You can contact me, Faith Lane, because I am a financial coach also, at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com. It's actually on the episode. And so if you know, interested in learning how to make your money work harder for you, you can give me a call or contact me there. Or you can call me at 240-640-5492. So we're going to open up the lines for anybody because I see we have a couple of callers on the line to ask Mr. Antonio any questions. Do any callers want to ask any questions?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm in, all into the conversation. But Mr. Brooks, I wanted to ask, now this book has been brought to fruition, what are your plans to do with this book or any future books from this point on?
Basically just try to educate men on child support and the laws. It's actually the child's right to receive finance from the absentee parent. So getting into public speaking, try to really just educate people in general about child support. In the back of my book, I put court terminology in the back of my book, and the purpose for me doing that is oftentimes men get put on child support and we're standing in the courtroom and court terms are being thrown all across the room and you don't know what it means, you know, what they're saying. And when you're at child support court, you can't say anything to the judge. So they're speaking on your behalf and making decisions on your behalf and you can't say anything unless the judge addresses you. So I felt like that I needed to put certain things in the back of the book and give the actual definition of what it is. Nine times out of ten, when a gentleman gets put on child support, he go and ask a friend, his dad, his uncle, what's going to take place in that courtroom. But they're going to give him their version of what happened to them in the courtroom. But that may not be his situation. Every situation is different. So I wanted to give them the legal court terms of, you know, certain words and certain statutes in the back of the book, as well as in the back of my book, every child support office on this planet, all the way to Hawaii and Guam, I have their address, phone number, and email address in the back of my book.
Wow. And that actually was going to be the next thing I had mentioned to you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, caller.
No, not at all. Also, Mr. Brooks, how can we contact you if we need to, you know, have you come out and speak or book signings or whatever? How do we contact you?
Okay, I have a public relations person. We're in the process of setting my book up on Amazon. We've having some glitches. Because when we set it up on the back of the book, it was cutting off half of the picture and half of the words. So for right now, you can contact me through Facebook, Antonio H. P. Brooks, or through my email, AntonioHPBrooks@gmail.com. You can email me, and I'll put you in contact with my public relations person, and we can make it work. You know, I'm ready to fly to different places, drive to different places, talk to men, talk to people in general about child support.
Thank you.
No problem. I also have on my page, if you go to my page, for people who want an autographed copy of my book, they can either cash at me and I'll sign it and mail it to you, or you can send a money order to my P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 700662, Miami, Florida 33170. I ship out books every week, Wednesday. Every week I'm at the post office shipping out 15, 20 books at a time. But if you inbox me, I'll return your inbox and we can communicate from there or through my email.
Excellent. Carly, do you have any more questions?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate you getting on our call.
It was very informative.
Thank you. Ms. Antonio. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Now, I just want to say this one thing, and then you can talk again. Sorry. Mr. Antonio, if you can make sure you get me all that information so I can put it on this episode and also attach it to your advertisement so I can add that on you too, okay?
Definitely. As soon as we get off the call, I'll send it to you.
All right. And, caller, did you have another question? I'm sorry.
No, that was it. I was just saying it was very informative, and I think that it goes across the whole diaspora for men and for women, because we also have women that are on child support. So it's very informative that people know this, because if you don't know, how are you going to know?
Exactly.
The thing is, so many laws have changed now. When I got put on child support back in the 90s, the father was responsible for 98% of the child's living. So basically, the mother was only responsible for 2% because the mother had the child with her majority of the time. Most men, when they're dealing with child support, the first mistake that they make is the one I made, which was giving her cash money. The second mistake is when they get that letter in the mail to come to child support, most men say, you know what, I'm not going down there. That's the worst thing you can do. You never not want to show up. You have to always show up. People feel that the child support system is rigged, and to a certain extent, it is. But with new laws and new things are changing, dealing with child support, people don't understand that the child support judge has a boss. His boss is the family court judge. And what I mean when I say that is, when you go to child support, they are there to establish a payment for the well-being of the child or the children in question. But the family court judge supersedes the child support judge, and reason being, when you go see the family court judge, he looks at the entire spectrum of what's going on with you, the mother, and the kids. His best interest is going to be the kids, but his other interest is you being a father to those kids, having a relationship with those kids. So when you go to family court and you sit down and say, listen, I want to see my kids. She's making it hard. I'm paying the child support. Every time I go to our house to pick up the kids, there's chaos. Me and her new spouse is getting into it. He says, okay, you tell me what you want. I want to be able to see my kids on these holidays, these birthdays. We alternate filing for the kids on end of the year for income tax or whatever the case may be. The minute he signs that, you now own 50% custody of those kids. So when that takes place, you're not responsible for 100% of their living.
Right.
After you've been to child support, and let's just say, the judge said your child support payment every week is $500. That's it. Unless the mother decides to get what's called a modification. Every 2 years, she can go back and get a modification based on your income. Where family court comes in and helps the father, the minute that family court judge signs that paper and you get it back in front of the child support judge, if your payment was $500, the minute you give him those papers from the family court judge, that $500 payment goes down to roughly $190, if not half. So it makes it comfortable for the man to be able to live, still have a modest lifestyle, and so on and so forth. You cannot be afraid to go to court. to see the family court judge in Florida is called a self-help packet, and I think that's the way it is in every state. In Florida, that self-help packet is $70. That would be the best $70 that you would ever spend. It's less headache, no chaos. When you go to court to see the family court judge, the only person going to be in the room is you and the judge. There's no other court people. And that's a scary place. Anytime you walk into a courtroom, you see all these moving parts and court reporters and bailiffs and all that. That is scary. But when you walk in that room, it's just you and the family court judge, and you sit down and you display everything that you're dealing with. He's actually there to help you. There are days that the family court judge sits in the courtroom and no men show up at all.
Hmm. Wow. That definitely got to get fixed, because you can run, but you can't hide.
Exactly.
So I would love to get you back on my show again. We got 7 minutes left. And I know I want to talk a little bit about some of your organizations, the other things that you're doing. And I want to actually get information on that also, so I can attach it to your episode. So we got really 5 minutes, 5 minutes left. Can you tell us a little bit about your Fight for Life and some of your other nonprofit organizations? Because I want to make sure we get that information out there for other people too.
Yeah, definitely. I started Fight for Life. I lost my mom and one of my good friends from two different forms of cancer. I saw the things that they went through with insurance companies not being able to provide enough medicine for them for the end of the month. So they used the medicine. They didn't have any money to buy medicine. So I came up with a concept, and it's called Fight for Life. What I do is National Cancer Society, they raise money for research. But what about the person that's really dealing with the cancer that really needs help in their household? So I decided if I can raise money to help you pay that light bill or buy Pampers or buy milk, you know, to help deal with that car insurance or buy grocery, that'll alleviate a certain amount of stress, because stress will kill you quicker than anything else that you're dealing with. So the concept is I got a pair of pink boxing gloves. I get your family members together and other friends, and everybody signs the gloves and they give a donation. We hide the gloves from you. They put together a little cookout or take you out to dinner, and I show up and I present you with the gloves. The signatures on the gloves signifies that you're not in this fight by yourself. All of these people sign these gloves. They love you. They care about you, and they're fighting. We raised enough money to alleviate that light bill. We raised enough money to alleviate, you know, the Pampers and the milk that you were worrying about and the formula that you needed for your kids. So we're going to take that money, and we're going to pay this bill. We want you to focus on getting better. I abstract a small portion to be able to replace those gloves to pay it forward for another family. So this family purchased gloves for another family that I'm going to honor in the future. So we use pink gloves for men. Pink gloves for women, and we use red gloves for men. And that's how I raise money, and that money goes direct to them. I'm set up with the state of Florida. I have a bank account with BB&T. Anybody would like to give a donation or whatever the case may be. I don't go out and solicit any families. Families contact me, and that's how I get involved. I get to know what the needs are. I have a young lady who don't have a car. She needs to get her cancer treatments. I raise money to pay for Uber to pick her up and take her to her cancer treatments, things like that.
Wow.
And that's how I started Fight for Life.
Wow. Wow, that's very powerful. That's very powerful, and I appreciate you doing that, Mr. Antonio. I wish we could have more people out there doing that, so I appreciate you doing that. Now,
I'm working to try to get it as global as possible, but Susan G. Coleman and the National Cancer Society are much bigger entities, so people donate money to those entities. But I've been doing this since 2012 out of my own pocket.
So we want to definitely get that information out there so we can help people get you some donations. And this is a global platform. This is not a local platform. This is a global. So people from all around the world listen to my radio station, just to let you know. So, we need to get that information out there so we can help you get some donations. So in 1 or 2 minutes, because we have 3 minutes left, if you could say anything to the world, about your whole situation, what would you say to them?
I would say first to women, if you have a man that's trying to be a father, it takes a real man to be a father. Give him an opportunity to be that father before you put other outside entities in. So it takes a bigger woman to allow that man to be a father. But if you're pleading with that man and he's not trying to help you, then by all means, child support is for him. And I didn't write this book to put women down. I wrote this book based on my own personal experience and try to educate people moving forward. So to men, put yourself on child support. Alleviate the enormous amount of bills and messing up your credit. It'll be less stress because once the judge hit the gavel, that's what you're responsible to pay. But if you're a real father, you're going to continue to give, pay the money like I did. My kids, prom and, you know, senior trips, they still enjoyed all that, and I still paid the child support.
All right. There it is, guys. There it is. Well, Mr. Antonio, I want to appreciate you coming on my show to the Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. We're normally on Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon. Guests can always call in at 563-999-3741. And you can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio / Faith Focus Finish. Okay? And that's that .com. So make sure you go on there and click on that follow button, so that the, you know, we can send you some notifications every time someone's coming on the radio show. And so on that note, I appreciate you getting on. The quote I'm going to close out, the secrets of change is to focus on all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but building the new. So on that note, you guys have a great and blessed day. And Mr. Antonio,
amen.
I appreciate you getting on, and you have a great day. Talk to you soon.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I really do. Well, we'll talk. I'll send you the information. You let me know how I can get a copy of this in some kind of way.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Come here, baby.
Well,
and with the thought.